We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord.
Be seated, please.
We have gathered today. We have not gathered in my name. We have not gathered in your name. We have gathered in Christ's name. And because of that, I'm so glad that you are here today. No matter if you are here in the auditorium with me or many of you at home watching online, we're so glad for your presence here. So if you are online, make sure to check in, say hey to everyone. Let us know who's watching with you. And as always, if you are in here, jump on Facebook and send out greetings that way too. You looking down at your phone does not bother me in the least. So go ahead and do that. Well, a special greeting today to all of you moms here on Mother's Day. We honor you today. If Mother's Day is a really good day for you, we celebrate with you. If Mother's Day is complicated or difficult for one reason or a thousand, we sit with you in that. For those of you who have moms who have already passed away, we remember with you. We bless you all today, and we give thanks for your life. We are a richer and fuller congregation because of you, so thanks. Hopefully you online, if you're watching online, you can hear us this week. I think we swept out most of the bugs that prevented us from having audio last week. Again, I apologize for that. Hopefully it's just fine right now. This morning, as typical, we will worship in song. Andrea, as you know, is leading us in worship. We will, in just a moment, read our psalm together. Cora, in a bit, will come and light our candle. We will eat and drink at the Lord's table. We will give, and we will also pray the Lord's Prayer. We'll do that after Andrea's second song in just a bit. I'm going to ask for a volunteer. If you want to pray the Lord's Prayer, you can come up to the mic right here and pray the Lord's Prayer, either in the version that you know, or I will leave a version for you up here on the podium should you need that. So you'll see it very clearly up on the screen. Okay, we continue to light a Christ candle to remind us that Christ indeed is with us, no matter if we're here in person or absent in person watching online. So Cora is going to come light our candle. I will read our psalm, and then we will sing together. Now I invite you to stand as I read from Psalm 98 today. Let's remain standing for the two songs that follow, and then for the Lord's Prayer, feel free to be seated at that point. Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. He has remembered his promise to love and to be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and a song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord our King. Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness. Let's worship together.
The joy of the Lord. Here, that's a little low. Let me start that a little higher. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter. I will not faint. He is my shepherd. I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not waver walking by faith. He will be strong to deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
We've been doing a lot of leaning on those everlasting arms through all of this.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Going to tilt this up just a bit. There we go. Lily, thank you for praying over us today. What a gift that is. Thank you for doing that. Okay, our youngest friends, hopefully you have something that looks like this. If you are one of our younger kids who's in this auditorium, there are a couple of copies in the back that you can get, some crayons, some colored pencils. This, of course, is our Leaves Bulletin. You see the psalm that I read, and on the back there are a couple of activities regarding what we are talking about today. We're talking about community. So you can grab one of those and follow along as you so choose. Let's pray together, please. God, we give you thanks for this day, the one that is before us. By your Spirit, continue to move us and shape us in ways that you see fit. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Jels, can you bring me the clicker, please? Thank you. Thank you. Last Sunday, we began a 3-week look at the article entitled Moving from Solitude to Community to Ministry, written by Henry Nouwen. Those of you who were watching online and could not hear, hopefully you have the article in front of you, or you can very easily find it on Google somewhere. Last week I talked about the three reasons we're spending time with Nouwen and his article. The first is that it links so very well to where we've just been, 1 John, about God's great love for us and, in turn, our love for others. The second is that it links to where we will go next, the Gospel of Mark, the life of Jesus and our calling as a people who follow him. The third and most compelling reason is this idea about this practice of spiritual formation, of discipleship, of surrendering to God so that our lives can be fruitful. When 1 John says, in this world we are like Jesus, how is it that that happens? Nouwen's article puts it like this. Once you have made the choice to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus, the question is, what disciplines will help me remain faithful to that choice? That's the question we began working through last Sunday. Those of you who could not tune in, we worked through the introduction and the section on solitude. I invite you, if you have not already, to read through those two parts at some point this week. Solitude, as we learned, is being with God and God alone for the purpose of hearing this truth. You are God's beloved. Let that truth very first and continually inform who you are. From solitude, we move to community. That's where I would like to pick up Nouwen's article. Again, just like last week, I will read large portions of it. You can follow along if you'd like, or just listen. And just like last week, I will make some observations and comments of my own at the end. All right, you ready? This is the community section in the article that you have in front of you. It's in that communion with God that we discover the call to community with God, that we discover, in that communion with God, we discover the call to community. It's remarkable that solitude always calls us to community. By community, I don't mean formal communities. I mean families, friends, parishes, 12-step programs, prayer groups. Community is not an organization. Community is a way of living. You gather around people with whom you want to proclaim the truth that we are the beloved sons and daughters of God. Community is not easy. Someone once said, community is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives. In Jesus' community of 12 apostles, the last name was that of someone who was going to betray him. That person is always in your community somewhere. In the eyes of others, you might be that person. I live in a community called Daybreak, one of over 100 communities throughout the world where children, men, and women who are mentally disabled and those who assist them live together. We all share aspects of day-to-day living. Nathan, Janet, and all the other people of our community know how hard it is and how beautiful it is to live together. Why is it so important that solitude come before community? If we do not know we are the beloved sons and daughters of God, we're going to expect someone in the community to make us feel that way. They cannot. We'll expect someone to give us that perfect, unconditional love. But community is not loneliness grabbing onto loneliness. I'm so lonely, and you're so lonely. It's solitude grabbing on to solitude. I am the beloved. You are the beloved. Together, we can build a home. Within the discipline of community are the disciplines of forgiveness and celebration. Forgiveness and celebration are what make community, whether a marriage or a friendship or any other form of community. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is to allow the other person not to be God. We all have wounds. We are all in so much pain. It's precisely this feeling of loneliness that lurks behind all of our successes. That feeling of uselessness that hides underneath all the praise. That feeling of meaninglessness, even when people say we're fantastic. That is what makes us sometimes grab on to people and expect from them an affection and a love they cannot give. It's so important that we keep forgiving one another, not once in a while, but every moment of life. Before you have had your breakfast, you have already had 3 opportunities to forgive people because your mind is already wondering, what will they think about me? What will he or she do? How will they use me? To forgive other people for being able to give you only a little love, that's a hard discipline. To keep asking others for forgiveness because you can give only a little love, that's a hard discipline too. It hurts to say to your children, to your wife, or your husband, to your friends, that you cannot give them all that you would like to give. Still, that is where community starts to be created, when we come together in a forgiving and undemanding way. This is where celebration, the second discipline of community, comes in. If you can forgive that another person cannot give you what only God can give, then you can celebrate that person's gift. Then you can see the love that person is giving you as a reflection of God's great unconditional love. Love one another because I have loved you first. We talked about that in 1 John just a bit ago. When we have known that first love, we can see the love that comes to us from people as a reflection of that. We can celebrate that and say, wow, that is beautiful. In our community, Daybreak, we have to do a lot of forgiving. But right in the midst of forgiving comes a celebration. We see the beauty of people who quite often are considered marginal by society. With forgiveness and celebration, community becomes the place where we call forth the gifts of other people, lift them up, and say, you are the beloved daughter, you are the beloved son. To celebrate another person's gift doesn't mean you have to give each other little compliments. You play the piano better. You're so good at singing. No, that's a talent show. To celebrate each other's gifts means to accept each other's humanity. We see each other as a person who can smile, say, welcome, eat, make a few steps. A person who in the eyes of others is broken suddenly is full of life because you discover your own brokenness through them. What a thought. In community comes that mutual vulnerability in which we forgive each other and celebrate each other's gifts. I have learned so much since coming to Daybreak. I have learned that my real gifts are not that I write books or that I went to universities. My real gifts are discovered by Janet and Nathan and others who know me so well they cannot be impressed anymore by this other stuff. Once in a while they say, I have good advice. Why don't you read some of your own books? There is healing. There is healing in being known in my vulnerability and impatience and weakness. Suddenly, I realize that Henry is a good person also in the eyes of people who don't read books or who don't care about success. These people can forgive me constantly for the little egocentric gestures and behaviors that are always there. Sometimes, it's hard to remember that the church is not a business. That's because we have a physical address. We own a building, we have bills to pay, electrical systems to replace, insurance claims to submit. We have a tax ID number and credit cards with our church name imprinted on them. We have organizational structures and leadership models and budgets to meet. It's hard to remember that the church is not a business. The church, though, is not a business. What is it? It's a body. The church is not a business to run, but a body that runs and walks and crawls and stalls, sometimes all in the same week. The church is a body that meanders and zigzags and wanders through deserts, sometimes for 40 years or more, before finding their way home. The church is a body with aromas of a newborn baby, both oh so delightful and oh not so much. The church body has gangly limbs and changing voices that remind you of adolescence. The church body has deepening wrinkles and matching wisdom that we should never smooth away. The church as a body is greater than any one congregation. Its arms reach longer into the past than we can see. They extend wider into the presence than we realize. They unfold further into the future than we can possibly imagine. The church body is a living organism held together by Jesus the Christ, who is the head of this body, and by the Spirit of the living God, who is our very breath, and by God, who is ever answering our prayer of, "May your kingdom come." It's because of Christ as the head and the Spirit as our breath and God as always at work that there is something wonderfully and marvelously alive in each one of us. This aliveness that connects us, you and me, it draws us together, makes us one despite all of our differences and preferences, our languages and our leanings. That sounds like a Pentecost sermon to me right there. Dee, if you want to preach that one. Dee's preaching that in just 2 weeks from now. In this congregation, for all our own running and stalling and zigzagging, here we are. Here you are. Individuals who in solitude can remember that, yes, indeed, I am God's beloved. I am God's beloved child. As I remember that, and as you remember that, then a community is formed together, now, and says, we can build a home. I am not naive enough to believe that everyone in this church home will always get along every single day, that we will all hold hands and skip our merry way into heaven. Doesn't work like that. Nouwen says that community is the place where the person you least want to live with always lives, and we can nod our heads to that one. People will make comments to you that they should not say. People will make choices that they should not do. We will not always agree on big issues that we cannot run away from. All of this makes community really hard, particularly in the church. And that's why Nouwen's points of celebration and forgiveness are so crucial. Celebration and forgiveness must seed our hearts and our hands, and through that, our lives will become even more fruitful. I've said this before and I will say it again. Forgiveness does not mean remaining in toxic relationships or situations where you are being harmed emotionally, physically, or psychologically. That is abuse. That is not forgiveness. And if you need to have that kind of conversation, I can point you to some folks who can help. In discipleship, forgiveness and celebration simply mean that we show up in our vulnerability and impatience and weaknesses and recognize that everyone else here is too. It's how, Nouwen writes, a person who in the eyes of others is broken suddenly is full of life because you discover your own brokenness through them. In that grace, we can find healing there because you are still loved by God and I am still loved by God, and therefore so are we. My show and tell today, Andrea, is a makeshift table and three chairs, represents all of what we've been talking about today. Tell me how you are doing. The table invites us to ask. Good. Now tell me how you're really doing. And we forgive and we celebrate and we pray and laugh and cry and encourage and wonder in all the things that healthy communities can do. Solitude has moved into community. Do you see that? Some of you have community in spades, excellent Give thanks for that. What a gift that is. Do you need to open up space then for someone else? Some of you have been searching for ages for people or a person to have a spirit-filled community with, and nothing in your mind has come. Yeah, that's hard. I'm very sorry about that. And at the risk of putting on rose-colored glasses right here in front of you, I want to say this. Keep praying about these things. I hope this church can be that for you, that you will keep showing up in person or online. That's okay too. Keep praying that God will provide that for you. That's another conversation you and I can have if you'd like. Finally, this congregation, time and again in my experience, does community really, really well. Does it so beautifully. You are to be commended for that. As the pandemic, hopefully, continues to burn itself out, and as we slowly keep opening back up, my prayer is that community will come to define us once again. That forgiveness and celebration through the Holy Spirit will shape us and form us as the body of Christ, however God sees fit. That's my prayer. Let's let it be yours today, too. And that's why together we say, or we type, Amen. Let's stand as we worship together.
One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. One goal, one vision, to see you exalted. We are the body of Christ. And to this we give our lives, to see you glorified. One heart, one spirit, one voice to praise you. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ.
As the body of Christ, we come together to eat. We come together to drink, and we get to do that today once again. What a gift that this time has been given to us, that we eat and drink as we are able, even with small pinches of crackers and little thimble cup sizes of juice, represents who God is for us and with us. Just like last week, I want to ask this time for another volunteer. If you want to come and help me serve the bread and the cup, here's some hand sanitizer you can use before picking up the tray, the cup. And then you can pass it to this side. I'll take this side today. If you want to volunteer and help me with that, you can come up as I'm praying, and we'll go from there. I speak, this is the body of Christ broken for you, and this is the cup of Christ poured out for you. You are welcome to say something similar if you'd like. Okay, let's pray together, and then let's eat and drink together. O God, who makes us one because of Christ and through the gift of the Holy Spirit, we give you thanks. It's your oneness that we meet together today to share this bread and to share this cup. You meet us right where we are, and we give you thanks for that today. It's through Christ that we pray. Amen. Thank you for helping me serve today. Our friend Glenn is going to pass around our offering tray. If you have something to contribute, to give, just wave him down and he will take it and put it in the offering plate. If you want to continue to give online, feel free to do that. You can mail it to the office, drop it by the office, you can drive, whatever way you give it, and that is just fine. And thanks, as always, for that. Let's pray together, and then Glenn will walk around. Thanks for the opportunity to give, O God, for in it we see that Christ is also given to us. I pray for blessings upon this money, not only the money, but also the folks who give it. by your Spirit, would you continue to bless them? It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, three family matters to share with you today. As we spoke last week, those of you who are online, you could not hear, obviously, but May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I just want to remind you that we have funds available to help for counseling sessions, for psychiatry sessions, should you need it. We have mental health resources list available if this is something that you or someone you know could make use of. We have that available for you. Second, we talked about celebration during my service. I want to publicly honor and celebrate King and Bonnie, who I know King, dropping the head, I'm doing it anyway. King is graduating from the University of Houston downtown with his bachelor's degree in technological communications this week. This is a big deal for King. He has been working on this degree for quite some time, and King, we are so proud of you for the effort that you have put into it. So we honor you, we bless you today. We could not do this church thing together without King. We love him, and we're so thankful for him. So if some of you, I don't know, want to drop a $50 bill in his hand today, you can do that. If you want to mail something to the office, give something online, you know, put it in the mailbox, I'm sure he'll take that too. But we honor King. We are so appreciative of him. All right, the last thing, I've been announcing for a couple weeks now that May 16th is our missions love offering. Our missionaries that help support through missions of love offerings twice a year now are Glenn Langston, which I'll talk more about in a second, and Reggie Hiller, who we'll talk more about next Sunday. Glenn and Ann Langston, tongue twister, they run a ministry called Insight International, and they work primarily with folks who are blind. And they do some fantastic work. A couple of days ago, Dee Pipes, Steve Sandifer, and myself interviewed them. We got on a Zoom call with them and spent about an hour talking with them, giving us updates, what's going on in your life and in the ministry. So I've edited that down to about 4.5 minutes. So I'm going to watch it now. King is going to zoom back on the camera. And you give me a thumbs up, King, when you got that. Hopefully you online can see that over my left shoulder. Okay, King, you're going to turn the volume up a little bit. Here we go, and then I'll get back up and talk a little bit more about it and do our benediction.
Talk about what's going on in Insight and in the ministry just these last couple of years.
And I assume we're on the screen. I'm just thankful I can't
yes.
see it.
Because right, get we're there.
Yeah, you're fine. You're looking yes. more or less at the camera.
I'm looking right. at the camera, whatever. Yes. But, and they just crave these in Pakistan, Kenya, all over. But and we take these for granted. Blind people can't get to work with this. And sometimes I know of some people, they had to start a congregation for the blind in India in one place because they kept going.
There, hang on, we're going to turn it slightly different.
Yep.
All right.
There we are.
Now they can see it.
Okay.
But they would take the bus, and the bus would be 3 hours each way. So they decided to start a congregation there, you know. But that's the cane. I'm going to let you put it back together.
Okay.
I'll be getting other things here.
Just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of
excellent.
The work.
Okay,
right. So the solar panel.
Yes, there's a solar panel. Let me stop it. These are very popular. We can get them in about 100 languages, if not more. And we send them to Malawi, Kenya, Nigeria, throughout Europe when they want them. This is one of the things that I really believe in taking Bibles and so forth to places that just don't have them, don't know them. So we are trying to slowly save money to buy two reliable, pre-owned but reliable vans for people to distribute Bibles, bring blind people to church, because in Mombasa, Joseph Mukewa, with whom we worked for a long time, they've brought a lot of blind people to the Lord. Yeah. And so two vans, they reckon that the vans, one in the rural area will be around $12,000. The one in the city of Mombasa, he reckons, will be about $17,000. Mm. And so we're saving money to eventually do this. There's a terrible balance that you have to strike. How much do you help people overseas and possibly, what do you call it, enable them? You know, yeah. Wanting, yeah. I can't explain it, but you know what I mean, that the more that people can do for themselves, like the early church, where they appointed elders and they began to function, that's what we all are looking for, right. You know.
Right. So tell us a little bit about what's next. What may God's Spirit be up to in Insight in the months and years to come?
God is, I think He's really moving so greatly. And we hope to continue what we're doing. We could use 100 helpers if we had them, but it's not that I'm sort of gifted, but there's a lot of specialization in this ministry.
Yeah.
Not just the Braille, not just the large print, not just the different Bibles that are available. Are you talking of a Braille Grade 1, Braille Grade 2, which has more shorthand? But a lot of it also is knowing the international climate and what you can send where and how you can send it,
how to get it in, and
how to get it into a country. We had to have a lot of Braille Bibles hand carried to Syria that were going to Iraq. And the people that saw them, the Baptist lady who brought them over is from Iraq. And she said people were crying, that, you know, they couldn't believe that the blind people could have a Bible. So that's basically it. I should have retired statistically, 7 years ago, but we didn't. Well, see, the problem is if I did, I just fear that somebody wouldn't get a Bible, and that really is important to me and to Anne as well, that we do get God's word out.
So bless them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And we pray for you often. I have a prayer list and you are on it, absolutely.
They're doing some great work around the world, and I'm so glad that we get to be a part of it. We did do an hour-long Zoom meeting with them, so if you want to learn more about Glenn's story, about Anne's story, Glenn was a part of this church growing up, so if you want to learn more about that relationship, you can just let me know, and we'll get you kind of the hour-long version of it. But in the meantime, please know that the money that you give between now and next Sunday, half of it will go to what Glenn and Anne are so beautifully doing. He says, it's not that I am especially gifted, but he is. He is uniquely gifted to do the work that God has asked him to do right now. So we want to be a part of that. Next week, we'll talk about Reggie's work, and we will pray over both of them. All right, I think that's all that I have. So I want to invite you to stand, please, as we send us out in benediction from John chapter 15. This is the next part of the section from John chapter 15 that we read last week. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. I have heard that from the Father. You did not choose me, but I choose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. And I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Let's do so this week. Peace be with you.